evening, everyone. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 2nd, 2018, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker?
Absent.
Absent. Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Okay, so first I'd like to say that tonight we'll be going out of order from what it says on the agenda. Because the last few meetings have run so late due to the discussion about the ordinances, so tonight, after correspondence, we'll go directly to committee reports. And then when they're finished, we'll go back to the ordinances. Also, given that this will be the fifth meeting where we're discussing the ordinances and the last few have gone almost till midnight, I'm asking that once again, each person will have one turn at the mic, one turn for public comment on agenda items only, and one turn at the hearing. And finally, I would ask that if you want to discuss, if you have anything to say about the ordinances, please hold that for the public hearing on the ordinances and not on public comment on the agenda items.
Mayor, I'd like to move that the committee reports be after the mayor's report, but before public comment, approval of minutes, and correspondence, just because there's a lot of information in some of the committee reports, and I think it makes sense to do it before public comment, because then the public will have more information, to it.
Right, we can do that. So we'll have
I'm making that motion to rearrange the order of business to have committee reports come after your report.
After my last sentence.
Do we need a second on that?
I'll yes,
second.
We do.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we will now go to committee reports. Okay, well, community development and code enforcement, Councilmember Parker is not here. Environmental health and safety.
I have nothing to report tonight.
Okay. Environmental health and safety. No, that's
we just
oh, that's you, right? Yeah, my lines are kind of blurred here. Okay. Finance. Councilmember Hamilton.
We're in the process of getting some quotes for repaving of the driveway area in the front in Borough Hall, and also the actual parking lot. So we'll be working on that. And I think soon we'll be able to move to do the repairs to the public service, the public works garage in the rear. So I think we should have action available and on the agenda for the next meeting on that.
Thank you. Public Works, Councilmember Bowen.
let's see, just a few things. We've been working on the painting of Borough Hall. Notice it's pretty flaked off, and it's been power washed, and I believe Greg is getting ready to start with the primer coat. And it looks like the roof for the public works building that's been they have what's the name of the place? Trenton Roofing. They've I guess they put it out to bid. Trenton Roofing came back with the best option, and I think we're going to be proceeding with that. I don't know exactly when it will be starting, but within the next few weeks, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm not sure if everyone knows that we received $10,000 from the insurance company to repair that.
Is the wall going to get replaced before the ceiling gets replaced, before the roof gets replaced?
The what?
Could you speak into the mic?
Is the corner wall?
I think that from what Greg was saying and what Anna was talking about, that the roof is going to be done first.
Yeah.
And then the corner.
Yes, because we spoke to some repair people and they recommend doing the roof before the wall.
Okay.
That was their recommendation.
And also planning on having an open public works meeting, committee meeting. I'm just waiting for Cody to get back, and so hopefully within the next 2 weeks. That's all for me.
I just wanted to mention something. We have a shared services agreement on the agenda for tonight with, I guess it's Monmouth County. And one of the things I noticed is that they do have, as things that they do, mowing. So there's a possibility we could get quotes from them to do mowing, too, and see how that compares with our existing contract.
That's a good idea. I know Greg's not that pleased with
Yeah. So I was talking to Greg about that today, and we might be able to get some good pricing on that.
Council Member Trammell, Utilities.
Okay, I will read my report. We had a utility meeting open to the public the 22nd of August, last Wednesday, at 7 o'clock in the evening. Myself and Deirdre were there. Cody was absent. Okay, at this public open meeting, we discussed the water pipes in Roosevelt with the assumption that the water plant and tower are in good shape. The discussion centered on the infrastructure of transporting the water from the tower to the town. We are all aware that the current water mains were installed in the 1930s and consist of iron pipe. From first-hand knowledge of two breaks that I was on the scene for, the repairs there showed me that the pipes were pitted from the outside as well as from the inside. This history is indicative of future failures. The discussion moved on to methods of repairing or replacing the mains in town. The methods discussed were, number one, during the repavement, my spell checker messed that up, during the repavement of Homestead, replace that section with ductile iron pipes. Two, line the interior of the existing pipes with rigid sleeving. Three, clean and coat the interior of the main pipes. Four, burst existing pipes and pull new pipes through. Five, do nothing and repair as needed. Six, trench the right-of-way near the curb and the curb valve and install new service. Method one is preferred, but it would take over 30 years, be very expensive, and the roadway must be paved. Methods two and three are trenchless, but depend on the integrity of the existing pitting pipes. Method four, bursting, is an option, but at what cost? We don't know that, and may be problematic depending on the condition of the interior of the existing pipe. Doing nothing saddles us with a $10,000 to $15,000 emergency repair bill whenever a main breaks. And method six is, well, in all cases, water service must be maintained during installation. Method six deserves more thought, as no paving is required and the existing service could be quickly resumed. Option one insists that pavement be disturbed. With a grant to repave part of Homestead, it is an option, although this section is but a fraction of our total pipage in town. Sewer should be considered if the roadway is taken down to dirt. The plan to repave is to mill down the first 2 or 3 inches and repave. The cost to televise the sewer is between $4,000 and $5,000. Carmella got three bids on that. With these facts in mind, we recommend that the mains replacement on Homestead be put on hold until we look into a cost-effective method of planning to repair and replace all mains in town. Respectfully submitted, Joe Trammell. Okay.
Thank you. Come to public comment, agenda items only. Would anyone like to come to the mic and speak about the agenda?
Bert? I'm at 22 Homestead Lane. On the letters from the Department of Transportation, there seems to be a duplication on one for Nerco Road. Says improvements to Nerco Road and Elm Court.
Could you speak up a little?
It's called improvements to Nerco Road and Elm Court. And Elm Court is also referenced on the documentation for the Homestead Lane, etc. So I would suggest that something should be resolved. I have no idea what the implications of that are, but I have a feeling it shouldn't be that way.
Could you repeat, because I really didn't hear anything you were saying.
I'm sorry. You have a letter from the Department of Transportation approving improvements to Nerco Road and Elm Court.
Mm-hmm.
Dated the 7th.
And then on bond ordinance number 18-06, you say you're going to have improvements on Homestead Lane, Elm Court, and Cedar Court. Elm Court appears twice on both documents, and I suspect that that ought to be corrected. Under new business, you're approving generator maintenance contract for $5,500 for 4 generators, as I remember. We have a copy of the bid request and copies of the bid responses.
And they would be available in the office with Anna.
There are copies. There was a bid. There was a request for bids published. In what papers?
I don't have the actual bid documents, but they were published in the usual papers that we publish.
Well, wait. It's not a bid. Bid is 17.5. These are
no,
just
but I mean the
quotes, and they
the
would not be advertised in a paper.
Well, not. We did it. We did it last
right
year,
too,
right?
No, not for
that.
But
we did. Okay.
We put out for bids last year because we were not satisfied with the current contractor.
Right.
And actually, this was passed during the last administration, and we kept them because they did a good job.
We put up quotes.
But that price,
I don't think
quotes.
We got quotes because it was less than 17.5.
No. Bids are, you have to go out for anything 17.5 and over. That's bids. So you have to advertise, put in the paper, the whole nine yards. Anything over 26.25, you have to go out for quotes. I mean, you need at least 2 quotes.
2,625? Okay, I don't believe we went out for quotes on this.
I'm sure Anna did. She knows.
I would
we'll
have to defer
check.
To Anna on that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what I said to begin with. Check with Anna. She'll provide that information.
So, what are we checking with Anna about? Whether things went out for bid?
Well, you asked if
it doesn't
they went
go out
to
bid.
Bid.
Huh?
It doesn't go out to bid. It's below the bid threshold. We got quotes for it.
I just saw the
bid
base was 22.50 or something?
17.5.
Oh, 17.5. Okay, so there was no bid.
No, this would have been quotes.
Went out for quotes. Right.
And this was the lowest quote?
I would have to defer to
Anna. Anna has that information.
And I've had a lot to say about the water and sewer. But I have one more, which is...
Could you hold that, please, Bert, until the ordinance hearing?
Sure.
Thank you. Anyone else on the public comment for agenda items only? Maureen?
Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive. I'd like to speak on the resolution to accept the maintenance with Modern Group, because this was the issue that I raised last year when I was on the council when we got their first contract, and the whole issue that I raised was that there was only one quote. I didn't know the law until I went that you had to get 3 quotes until I went to the Rutgers training for elected officials that was in like June or something. And then I found out that you have to get three quotes. But there were not three quotes. I really seriously doubt.
You need at least one more. So a minimum of two quotes you need.
Two additional to this one, you mean? In addition.
Total. You can get more, but you need at least.
Well, there weren't any. So that was the whole issue last year. So I would urge you to table this until you look at the quotes and then actually decide on which one to get once you have the quotes instead of no one even knowing if there are any quotes.
Well, that's because that's Anna's job to know that. So if you want to check with Anna tomorrow.
It's public comment section. I would prefer that I would be allowed to speak during public comment. I think it's the council's duty to decide which one you want. So, and if you don't know for a fact that the law was complied with, I would urge you to make sure that it was complied with, because it wasn't complied with last year.
Would anyone else like to come to the mic? Okay, there being no one, we closed the public portion at 7:20 p.m. So, approval of minutes. Do I have a motion for the minutes of August 13th, 2018 special council meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right, under correspondence, we have a letter received from the State of New Jersey Department of Transportation dated August 7th, 2018, regarding executed agreement approved by the NJDOT for Nerco Road and Elm Court in the amount of $350,000. Ordinances. Do I have a motion for Bond Ordinance 18-06, second reading?
I'd like to make a motion.
First, you got to open up to the public.
Motion to open the public hearing on 1806.
Yeah, I thought it was down here. Someone moves it. Okay.
We should do the public. Okay. Do a motion, but you can't do a vote.
Right. Oh, okay. Did you move it, Mike?
I made a motion to open the public hearing on 1806.
Second.
Second.
All right, the public hearing is now open for Bond Ordinance 18-06 at 7:22.
Is this the first or the second reading?
Second reading. Discussion at the table?
We have to put shovels in the ground by February 21st, 2020.
Okay, you guys are confusing me.
All right.
Okay, if you're going to discuss first, discuss and then open the public hearing. Okay.
So we should discuss first, then?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Want to close the public hearing?
Yeah.
Right, we're going to move to close the public hearing at 7:23.
Discussing 18-06?
Yeah, but we need to close public because we opened it too soon.
Okay. Right.
So move to...
I'll withdraw my motion to open.
Yeah, he withdrew his motion. Okay.
Second?
I'll second this withdrawal.
Now, discussion at the table about Bond Ordinance 18-06.
Okay, my question was, I see February 21st, 2020, so we have to make an award by then or have shovels?
No, we don't have a grant for this work, just a grant for the paving. That needs to be done by the deadline. Is that correct?
Yeah, I only got received the letter back from Nerco and Elm from
right,
the state.
And that's for paving. That's not for
correct.
What's covered under 1806, which is water main replacement.
Yeah, there's
correct.
No water main.
So we don't have any deadline with this.
Okay. So
as far as DOT grant money is concerned.
Okay.
Any other discussion at the table?
Do we know how much beyond the grant, approximately how much the paving would cost? I think Carmella put something out on that a while back. And I just don't have it in front of me.
Yeah,
just curious.
For the paving?
Yeah.
That's a different north? That's
not the part of the ordinance.
That's
not
the
ordinance.
Well, this is NERCO.
That ordinance passed last meeting.
You're on this. We're on, we're on the bond right now. We're on discussion of the bond, 1806.
Yeah, the paving ordinance passed.
So this is for the water pipes on Homestead.
Right.
Is it bond 1806?
And the corporate.
And Elm.
Elm.
Okay. All right, I have.
So we're there, we're discussion now.
Right. It was, let me just say that it was the recommendation of the committee that we hold off on doing this for right now until we have further information on other things that we could do for the whole town.
Any other discussion at the table? Being so much quieter, I'm not going to say it. Being none, I will open.
Make a motion to open the public hearing on 1806.
Second?
I'll second.
Again.
Okay, and this time it's 7:24. Would anyone like to come to the mic? Jeff?
I was at the committee meeting. And
name and address, please.
Oh, sorry. Judd Sean, 18 Tamara Drive. I just wanted to expand a little bit about what went on, and then there are other people here who were also at the meeting who can either correct me or add more things. But I think the gist of it was that Steve Mocker knows a great deal about pipes and was great at the meeting. And the idea is that if the paving were full depth, then it would make sense to take care of pipes, water, and sewer. And sewer was really made a point of as well, and to do it at the same time. But then Joe ascertained that it's really just a 3-inch surface repaving. And so that gives us time to consider what the best plan is for the pipes. And there was a lot of discussion about the areas in town that are most vulnerable to water main breaks. And those seem to be along where Empty Box Creek crosses both Rochdale and Tamara. And so those are really at risk for future breaks. And so people were quite interested in checking out the possibility of starting there with the water mains. But there's a moratorium on disturbing the pavement that was just done on Rochdale. But Steve mentioned, I believe it's correct, that you could do the water mains to the side of the pavement, right? Without disturbing the pavement? So, I mean, a lot more study needs to be made. And then there was also some mention about assistance from Hightstown and person at Hightstown.
Not so much assistance, but they're using a different type of pipe there.
Right. So there's a new type of pipe that needs to be further investigated that is, it's largely similar to the polyethylene ones that they're using, but it has more flexibility, and it might be really appropriate to use in those areas at high risk where the soil is much less stable. So that needs to be looked in. And I don't think, so then the other idea was also to try to not make a plan to all at once take care of the pipes in town, but to try to figure out what a reasonable progression of repairs was. Like, what are the highest risk areas? you know, and plan long range area by area to do it incrementally and try to coordinate that also with paving issues, but water mains and sewer. So that's why the committee, the consensus at the committee was to just, the paving is already passed and is going to take place, and put the rest of this on hold until all these issues are further investigated.
Thank you.
Can I tell what type of piping we were talking about?
Well, let's, it's right. Public, so let's, anyone else? Bert?
Yeah, I was at that meeting and, sorry, I won't talk again. I was at that meeting and I would generally agree that an awful lot of questions were raised about what's been happening, and I think it would be the better, it would be prudent not to pass this ordinance at this time and not encumber any monies at this time. One thing I haven't talked about in previous occasions is why are we, is what the reasons are for starting piping on, looking at piping on Homestead Lane, and as Jeb pointed out, there are plenty of other places at which we've had continuing problems, which should, we ought to be addressed first. Otherwise, we're going to have a bond, and we're going to, and we're certainly going to keep on repairing the pipe breaks that we have on Lower Rochdale Avenue. That's really primarily my, and also, we talk about putting up a long-term program. We are prepared to encumber ourselves with another 30-year bond. And although we have, I'm not sure, though I've listened to the chief financial officer, I'm not quite sure what that does to our bonding capacity in the future. I doubt very severely that we'll have the opportunity to pass another large bond offering within the next, let's say, 5 years, 10 years. We're still paying off the first 30-year bond on other issues. So I think we have to sit down, reconsider most everything, and I think that somehow we are going to have to encumber some money to pay the engineer to do the work that's required for us to really know what the heck we ought to be doing and what it's going to cost. As we know that the cost estimates have varied from $15,000 for what's on the paper now, or what's in these papers now, from $15,000 to $10,000, and I would suspect it'll vary again some more, probably up. Anyway, that's my speech for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mary?
Mary Cullis, 21 Lake Drive. I was also at the Utility Committee meeting, and I think that Jeb and Bert just gave very excellent summary of the recommendations, and Joe, as chair of the committee, has also recommended that we continue to do some more investigation. And as Jeb said, if it was going to be a full-depth reconstruction, it certainly made sense then to dig up the water pipe, also the sewer pipe. But since that's not the case, we should really step back and do kind of an asset management, look at our infrastructure in terms of water and sewer, and as we've been doing, look at where the breaks are occurring, where work needs to be done, and plan accordingly, kind of over the long term. That's it.
One turn. This is our fifth meeting, so I said in the beginning, one time only.
Well, I didn't speak one time on the public hearing.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Maureen?
Thank you. Maureen Parrott, Peach Mara Drive. Many instances of my being censored by the chair. And I would appreciate my being able to speak during public comment. I have a lot of comments, and they're all directed towards voting no on this bond ordinance. First one is that all but one of you, of the elected officials up here, campaigned with me on very specific issues, and two of them were issues that apparently have been repudiated by everyone but me. One was that any bond ordinance would go on the November ballot as a referendum, and that instead of making the public do the petition for referendum, we all campaigned on that it would go on automatically. And I think that I would urge you to, that is a good policy to do, because we need so few signatures to require it to be on a referendum. And there's a substantial cost savings by making the passage of any bond ordinance contingent on being approved at a referendum. The second issue that we all campaigned on, except for Steve, was that we would do planning and involve the public. And I agree that I don't think, well, I'm not aware of any planning that's been done, and I agree with the comments made by everyone, Mary, Bert, and Jeb, that there are many infrastructure needs that we need to look at them comprehensively as to water, sewer, and then also as to non-water sewer, because they're separate bills and we pay such an exorbitant amount of money. And the public input would involve, I mean, I didn't know that Mr. Mocker had knowledge of this, but there are many people in town that do have knowledge, and that's one of the reasons why it is important, I think, to have a planning process that the public is involved in fully. And then people buy into it also. You know, people will buy into, and one of the factors, of course, is going to be affordability. The second point is that, in my view, this bond ordinance and many of the bond ordinances that have been passed by prior councils and the bond ordinance that was passed at the last meeting, but I think they're illegal. I think they're illegal under state law, which requires the ordinance on its face to specify the purpose, and if it's more than one purpose, to put the amount of money for each purpose. And if there's more than one purpose, you have to put the amount of money for each purpose. And Section 3 of this, which is the purpose, it doesn't specify the purpose. It says water mains, replacement of water mains, including certain streets. It doesn't limit it to those streets. And it doesn't say what type of pipes are to be used or anything regarding the wisdom of doing this. There are many factors that we wouldn't have to pay an engineer to do construction plans in order to get preliminary plans to decide the type of issues of what pipes, where it's going to be, or how we're going to do it. Those kind of issues should be decided up front. But again, I don't think this complies with the local bond law, and then I also don't think it complies with the Securities and Exchange Commission Rule 10b-5, which absolutely prohibits any misleading statements with reference to bonds at all, ordinances and everything else about it, and requires continuing disclosure. And I had done, as I had done on many of these prior bonds, I asked for, at one of the meeting it was introduced, I asked. The bond section 3 says that the improvements are in accordance with contracts, plans, specifications, or requisitions on file with or through the borough clerk as finally approved by the governing body of the borough. Now, that could clarify the purpose if those plans and specifications actually existed. But when the bond was introduced, we were told by everybody here, all the professionals were here, that there were no plans, that the council hadn't approved the plans, and that they're not in the custody of the clerk. And that is in my view, a false statement on the face of the bond, because it says there are plans and there aren't any. It says that they were approved by the borough and they weren't by the governing body, and it says that they're in the custody of the clerk, which they're not. And I would really caution against, inviting SEC scrutiny, Securities and Exchange Commission, scrutiny. They do have an entire section aimed at municipal bonds. And I think it's always better to err on the side of caution with respect to any law rather than to err on the side of an attempt to evade a law. And those are the two laws. What's the problem with having the purpose very clear before you decide to spend the money? To me, it only makes good public policy sense. And to have an absolute false statement on a bond, I am just, I think it's just extremely bad public policy and probably violates Rule 10b-5. And then the third thing is that I think that we can't possibly afford to do all the, even if there, you know, we had complied with the other two, had satisfied those other two issues, I don't think we can possibly afford to replace all the water mains, given that we pay $372 every other month. I just don't. I mean, I'm 100% in favor of clean water, but we could buy everyone in the town a reverse osmosis system for much cheaper, and then you'd have completely purified water in every single household, and it wouldn't matter what came through the pipes. But I just can't see how we could possibly afford doing that. So I would urge you again not to withdraw it or table it, but to vote no on this. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to come to the mic?
No.
I absolutely cannot see you from here.
I know. I can't see you either.
Bob Clark, Lake Drive. I don't have much to add to what's already been said, except to say that it should make you decide to delay for the purpose of studying the issue more, both from legal standpoint and from the practical standpoint of making sure that you get a solution that is going to be an affordable solution. And one that will last, you know, the borough longer than well, the time that it takes to pay off these bonds. And I think that the case has been made for delay quite ably. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Close the public. Oh, Dave.
Dave Curtis, 2 South Rochdale, site of the latest water disaster. For those that don't know me, I'm on Public Works here in town. I've been doing this since January. In that time, I've seen 2 water main breaks, and last week the line going to my house broke. It cost me $5,000 to fix it. As far as affordability with the water mains, didn't factor into my budget. I still had to pay it. As far as bringing these kind of things to referendum, I would remind the council that you guys were elected to represent the people, and that's what you're doing here. As far as waiting on this stuff, as Joe's already pointed out, the pipes are decaying. It's not a gamble. They're dying. They're falling apart, and the longer we wait, the more pipes are going to break along the way. Just my 2 cents.
Thank you. Anyone else? We'll close the public hearing. Oh, everyone's raising their hands at the last. Come on, Jim.
Jill Lipote, 40 Pine Drive. I agree that the pipes are in terrible shape. But I think we need an organized plan for prioritizing how to replace. And doing it just because you're paving that road is not a prioritized plan. You need to prioritize based on the shape of the pipes, the water pipes and the sewer pipes. They're 2 different things. The road is one thing. The pipes are another. So absolutely important that we have an organized plan for treating the infrastructure in our town but going about it in this sort of haphazard method is not the way to go. So I would urge you to vote no on the ordinance as well. Thank you.
Anyone else? Raise your hand high, because I haven't been seeing the last few hands. We'll close the public hearing at 7:44.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to continue the public hearing on 1806 to allow for more input and also more time to look at this and more council representation. Right now we're one council person short, and we also have one council person absent, so I think it's important to have a full contingent here to consider this. And I think the work that was done by Joe's committee and by everybody who was involved was really good work. It certainly added a lot, and I think it's a good system to have committees where we get the public involved and they offer their input and different perspectives on it. So I'd like to make the motion to continue the public hearing on 1806 to allow for more input.
So you're looking to table the voting on the ordinance at this time?
Yeah, but to keep it open.
Until September, our next meeting, which is September 12th. Everyone should take note of that.
It's a Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday because of Rosh Hashanah. It's September 12th. Do I have a second for Mike's motion to table?
I'll second that motion.
Roll call? I did roll call.
Okay. Roll call.
So everyone understands that bond ordinance 1806 is going to be tabled with another public hearing on September 12th, 2018. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes. So the next public hearing on this bond ordinance will be September 12th at 7 p.m.
Can I make a comment also? I would like to have another public utilities meeting in between now and then. And everyone that was at the last one, I would love if they showed up again to this one. The input was very well taken all around. So
I have a question about that.
Sir.
From what I understand, you can't have more than three council members at a committee meeting, right?
Yeah.
So if you're having a utilities meeting, you know, and you may have 10 more, you may have 20, it may go on for a couple of years.
Yep.
And I'm not going to be able to be part of it. And I guess that's my question. I mean, does that really make a lot of sense that, you know, and I know it has to do with a quorum and people can sense.
No, I actually understand that, because you're having the meetings in addition to all the council meetings, but at the council meetings everyone can be here, but unless you unless the committee meeting becomes a special meeting like it did on the 13th, yes, you can only have three council people or two council people and the mayor. So
I think it's important and I would like to be there, and so what's a special meeting?
We had a special council meeting. That was when the council was there and Carmella came in and spoke. That way I could get everybody in.
Now,
on a question, please. Could another council meeting be part of the audience of a public committee meeting?
That's actually my question.
Wait.
Yeah. If it's open to the public, why can't I participate?
He's part of the public, although he is a council person.
No.
So
it
could
doesn't.
No,
it
violates
the
committee sunshine law.
Yeah,
there.
It doesn't
then
the sunshine law.
Right. So you can have another special meeting. That's up to.
Well, that would be a council public 2 days' notice. Yada, yada, yada.
Well, that's the purpose of having a committee, is to have the liaison who is you to the utilities to essentially be the eyes and ears of the council at the utility meeting.
Okay, on another question then. Should, because Cody has not been available for the past couple of utilities meetings, if I do not hear from him in time, could I invite Steve? Legal?
Yeah, it's just that this is our fifth meeting about this. This is our fifth, and then we're having another one on the 12th. That'll be six.
I
you have a committee meeting that turns into a special meeting or you have some council people in there and not others. That's the seventh meeting.
This would be my second public committee meeting.
Right, I understand. I'm just saying we had a meeting on the 27th. We had two meetings on the 13th. You had a committee meeting. Now we're having a meeting tonight. We're having a meeting on the 12th. And then you want to have another committee meeting of which only three people can be there. And now it's like,
well,
will
the
Cody
committee
be there
would,
or
the
won't?
Committee would be there if Cody is not available.
I know what you're asking.
Yeah,
I just think at this point, we tend in Roosevelt to like discuss things and discuss things and discuss things and not take any action. So I think at this point, the next meeting will be the sixth or seventh meeting. So if you want to have a committee meeting, that's perfectly acceptable.
And if Cody is
but
not available,
but then if Steve is upset that he can't be there, if Cody does come, it's frustrating.
Well, then somebody's going to leave.
Right. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Okay. Okay. So, but if Cody is not available, I can invite Steve.
Yeah. It could be any, it's not by name. It could be any three council people.
I could invite
people.
Mike.
Yeah.
I can invite you.
Any three council people or
Kathleen.
Two.
Kathleen.
No, Kathleen doesn't count, unfortunately.
I'm always in favor of more meetings, you know.
Any three council people or two council people and the mayor.
Understood. We got so much accomplished at this meeting last week.
Well, everyone's here tonight.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay,
your
we
public,
come to resolutions.
Can I offer resolution 18-110, payment of bills?
Have a second?
Well, wait, have we voted on?
No, we tabled it. Tabled.
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 Okay. Okay.
So now we're on to 18-110, payment of bills.
Do I have a second?
I got it.
Okay. Do I have a second to pay the bills?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I'd like to offer resolution 18-111. Amending Resolution 17-20, authorizing Monmouth County Shared Services for cleaning the storm inlets.
Second?
I'll second.
Yeah, that was a cost overrun because it hadn't been done in a long time. There was a lot of material. It took them a lot more hours, I think, than they really anticipated. So what we're essentially approving is increasing the payment. And again, it's at cost because it's a shared services agreement. They keep track of how many hours, and they just bill us for the hours.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I'd like to offer 18-112, authorizing the execution of a commodity resale agreement with the County of Monmouth.
Second?
Second, Matt.
Discussion?
Yeah, that's a shared services agreement with Monmouth County. And there's a lot of things that we can have them do for us through the shared services agreement. I just want to mention a few of the things. One of the things we took advantage of was catch basin cleaning, culvert repairs, diesel inspections, equipment use with an authorized equipment operator, mowing. So we might want to look at mowing because right now we contract with an outside contractor for that. It may be more beneficial to go through the shared services agreement. Plowing, we use them for plowing when needed. Salting and sanding, we already use them for that. Street sign installation, street sweeping, towing, traffic signal installation, vehicle painting, vehicle repairs, and vehicle washing. So there's a lot of things that they can do, and it's I think it's saved us money in the past.
On a question?
Yeah.
Can we look at them for a possible generator service?
Yeah, I don't know if that's included, but we could, of course.
Yeah, I saw the list in their booklet.
Didn't we talk to Millstone about that? Millstone Board of Education? Or
I don't recall. We might have.
We discussed it with
I'm
Millstone.
I'm going to check
it.
Okay.
Roll call. 18-112. Yeah.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
With offer 18-113, authorizing execution of a municipal assistance / shared services agreement with the County of Monmouth.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Next one, Mike?
Offer 18-114, resolution urging the legislature to amend S-716, S-477, and S-1766.
A little discussion on that? I'm curious as to what it actually means. It says that firemen with pre-existing conditions cannot be insured, or I was a little...
Well, what it says here mm-hmm. is that there are three legislative bills pending that will cause a major increase in insurance costs. Information regarding the three bills is attached. They ask that the borough would pass a resolution opposing the three bills because...
Opposing the three bills?
Yes, because the because there would be a major increase in insurance costs.
To emergency service workers? Or to the...
Well, you're in a JIF, so it would be...
Right. To the municipality, as it was for JIF and everything. So, in other words, they're asking us to approve a bill to oppose the rate hike, if I'm to understand that.
No, there's different things that the...
Yes, they're all about the same, those are rate
bills. No, I mean, one of them is statute of limitations regarding defensive claims. Which is S-477, and then S-716 has to do with the firefighters with cancer as an additional compensation. And what this resolution would do is that you would be urging the legislator to amend those three bills. I mean, you could read it in the resolution 18-114 how you would be urging the legislator to amend those three separate bills.
To not raise the insurance payments?
Well, there's different ways. So S-716 be amended to provide that the cancer presumption be limited to types of cancer that scientific evidence establishes that firefighters develop at a higher rate than the general public.
So it's detrimental to the health of the firefighters there. So would we be voting for them to amend it?
It's not that the bill is getting, you're not urging the legislator to get rid of those bills. You're just asking them to do specific exclusions or inclusions to amend the bills to reflect ways to keep your insurance premiums as a municipality down. Such as, you know, S-477 be amended to increase the statute of limitations on claims involving sexual molestation against public entities to seven years, subject to no limitation against the molester. So there's different ways.
Yeah, but the 66s, I think, is what I was curious about, and they're the ones
about the 716.
They're the ones about the health of the...
firefighters.
Exactly.
I don't like that these are all lumped together.
It's kind of...
I'm opposed to amending S-477, limiting the statute of limitations regarding sexual abuse to 7 years, because sometimes people come out... Later,
that's what's going on out there now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It may be good for insurance companies, but it's certainly not
good
for the victim.
People. Right. So it might be good for insurance companies, but not good for the firemen. Yep. You know, that sort of good thing.
Well, it would be subject to no limitation against the molester himself.
Right.
Oh. Okay.
So yeah, but
you have to remember there would be no statute of limitation against the molester themselves, but. It would be limiting the statute of limitations as to the municipality.
Okay.
So that would mean that 7 years So if you had someone work for you 10 years ago and there's no statute of limitations as to the offender, but there would be a statute of limitations for the public entity, which would be the Borough of Roosevelt.
So this is to protect the public entity?
Yes. Okay. And I mean, you know, it's still 7 years.
Yeah.
Yes, and a lot of these cases, as evidenced by the news every single night, you read, you know, people don't come out because of, you know, fear and intimidation. You know, for many, many, many years, it could be decades.
Just have repressed it.
But that would mean that the public entity would then have to defend. If there was no statute of limitations, the public entity would have to defend against it 30 years down the road.
So does
can
this
we separate these?
Of course.
Well, it's a state legislature that packaged them.
This came from them.
From the state,
you wouldn't be able to.
Right.
So they are going to vote on this the next session, I guess, and they're looking to have municipalities.
No, it's going to take a lot more than that. you know, these types of bills can take months and if not years.
I'd like to table this one until we know more about exactly what it states. It's a little confusing.
Making a motion to table.
I'm making a motion to table.
I'll second.
Second. We had the discussion, right, so we can go right to the vote for it.
Mr. Bowen, this is to table.
Yeah, yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes, to table.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
This would be the table to September 12th, correct?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we'll also have to look into it to see if there is a time frame within which they want, you know, each municipality to vote on this resolution.
Okay.
But being that it is summer and many municipalities only have one meeting per month, a lot of, you know, the legislator is out for the, you know, for the summer and will, you know, reconvene. I don't think the September 12th would, you know, be detrimental to the legislator themselves. You know.
So who's going to get the information?
Yeah, that to continue the discussion.
We can.
We all
can
do our own research. We can download the bills from the legislature.
Andrew's looking
it
up.
We'll look it up.
Yeah.
All
right.
There's a link to the websites for the bills on the bills.
We'll look into that for the next meeting.
All right, so we'll have the information by the next meeting, whatever information is available. Okay, reports of borough officials?
No, we're on 18-115.
I knew that a second ago. Resolution 18-115. Someone want to? Mike, you want to work for that?
Can we discuss it?
Well, first we have to make a motion and a second.
Okay. I am going to want to discuss it, but I'll move that we.
Yeah.
I'll move Bill 18-115.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Discussion.
Discussion. I know that their contract ran out on the 1st of August, so we're into the month already. The generators seem to be in pretty good shape now. I would like to table this until the next meeting also, so I can inquire to Monmouth County to see whether generator maintenance could be part of a shared service agreement with them. Okay. Although pretty happy with these guys, the generators have definitely come on and have been used many occasions with the lights, the power going down and all this. So, but I want to see if there is a Monmouth County connection for this.
And we can also check with Anna to see if this was the lowest quote.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So.
Okay.
All right.
Making a motion to the table.
Mm-hmm. Motioning to table till next meeting.
I'll second.
Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan.
Yes.
Mr. Trammell.
Yes.
Yeah, when that cuts off, I'm yelling.
I know. It's very hard to hear when it's on, and then when it's off, it's. And also, I listened to the tape recently, And I was going to ask everyone to speak up because it's very difficult to hear the tape.
Air conditioner.
But that's why if everyone could speak up. Because if you're listening to the tape on the website, it's very difficult to hear.
I'll make some
adjustments.
Yeah.
Reports of borough officials. Mike, did you have something? Okay. Old business? Anyone have anything? New business? Does anyone want to bring up anything? Oh my God, we're going to get out of here like in decent time.
I'd like to say we're going to have a utilities meeting sometime this next 2 weeks.
Three people on, three council people.
You're all invited.
Okay, we come to public comment on any item, Mike. It is 8:04 p.m.
Okay, thank you.
Mike.
Michael Tickton. Okay. The on that resolution with the legislation, I'll be happy to help with this. Since I work with the state senate, and I work with the legislative process all the time, I'll be happy to do it. What we have to do first is check on the status of the three bills and see where they are. And the important thing with the legislation is any letter at this point has to be addressed to the sponsor, because the prime sponsor of the bill is the person who controls the bill. And once it's passed, if these are Senate bills, once they're out of the Senate, then you would address it to the Assembly, the person who's the Assembly sponsor. But that's how the system works. You don't just send letters to everybody's, you know, once it's on the governor's desk, you can send a letter to the governor. But, okay.
How does it come to us?
I have no idea. I don't know this came from the League. Did this come from the League?
It came from the insurance company.
From the insurance company.
From GIF.
It came from insurance. From GIF. Okay. That's how we got it.
So GIF is basically lobbying.
It's a lobby.
Well, they want to do whatever is possible to reduce their exposure.
Do we know who the sponsor is of this?
I'm sorry?
Do we know who the sponsor is on this?
I'll try to find that out for you and find out who the sponsors are of those three legislators. Because if you do decide to do anything, any letters will have to be addressed to those. Those are the legislators. You can copy your own legislators, but what matters is the legislator who is the sponsor.
Right.
Okay, just my thought about your meeting was, I would think if you wanted to have a committee meeting, you would just have, if you made it a public meeting, that would solve the problem.
Well, that's what we did.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't have to be a council meeting.
No.
Okay.
But Cody did not show up. He was not available, and I didn't know that.
Right.
And since we only had two council people there, myself and Deirdre, I would have invited Steve.
No, I understand. My point is, if you give the public go through the whole public notice procedure.
Well, then it's a council meeting.
It doesn't have to be a council meeting. It's a public meeting. You can then call a public meeting.
Oh, so I can do that.
It's a public meeting,
and anybody can
be
that resolved that problem of not having. What you're trying to avoid is the problem of having
a quorum of the council present at a meeting that isn't
an announced public meeting. So you make it an announced public meeting.
So then there could be as many people from the council as...
Yeah, once you make it an announced public... Yeah, once it's a public meeting, you can do that.
That's the two-day notice.
That's the answer to my question.
Yeah, that's the question, right. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
I'm just a bongo player. I have no idea how this stuff works.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Just quickly, the borough sign out there is a disgrace.
It's coming down.
Yeah.
And Ann and I are in the process of ordering a new sign for Roosevelt. We've looked at different signs and pricing.
Okay. Well, John Ord had mentioned to me that he was working on a sign.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah.
And so I don't know what that's about.
He didn't tell us.
and
but we're ordering a...
Well, maybe it would be worth communicating with him.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't aware of that.
And Ani had said that she would...
I'm sorry, who?
Ani Roscoe.
Oh, Ani. Mm-hmm.
Would be interested in working on making a new sign if
that
John Ord is doing it.
Yeah, that needs to be communicated to us because Anna and I are literally in the middle of ordering a sign.
So I'm just conveying some information. You can follow it up if you want to. Mm-hmm. It might cost
Good
the borough
know.
Less.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we were surprised at how low the cost was for a professional. It was not installation wasn't included, but we thought we could have the Public Works Department. But I'd much rather have a Roosevelt resident or residence erect.
And meanwhile, couldn't the one that's out there just be propped up instead of being like this?
It's so dilapidated.
No, I know. I mean, just for a week or however it takes to get the new one. Anyway, the other thing is Greg Cannon still the borough attorney?
Yes, I'm his partner.
Called vacation.
You're his partner. Oh.
He's
on I just think the public would be happy if new faces were introduced.
You're right. I was absolutely
sorry, Andrew Sobel.
Really try not to do that. I really miss that. I'm sorry.
It's okay. And I just a comment. When an ordinance is tabled, do you have to say the date that it's going to be reconsidered? Because I'm surprised. I don't understand what happened with Ordinance 1806, because it seemed to me that the logical thing was to, given all the opinions about it and the general consensus that acknowledging the importance of dealing with this issue, this particular ordinance doesn't fit the bill, and I thought it was just going to be got rid of somehow. I don't know what the procedures are. And then it seems to me that in order to figure out what the borough wants to do, perhaps that's the purpose of the upcoming committee meeting or the town meeting, that the system for doing all the research that needs to be done has to be figured out.
Well,
so I just don't understand why. What else could be accomplished on the 12th of September?
Well, we'll have our professionals here again on the 12th to answer any questions.
There's a few reasons for that. To pass an ordinance, you need 4 council votes in the affirmative. We only have 4 council people here. We're 1 short because of a resignation, and we're also 1 short because Cody's not here. So I think we don't have a full group of council people to discuss the merits of you know, doing it, passing this ordinance or not passing the ordinance. So I just think it makes a lot more sense to just continue, just keep it open. It allows an organized way to discuss it further. I think there are some merits still to doing it the way that we were headed. And I just think it makes sense to leave it open for one more.
Well, I'm hoping that Cody and whoever is the new council member, maybe the material could be reviewed with them so that we don't have to go all over the same ground all over again.
And I think if Joe has another committee meeting, that could be done, a review at the meeting.
Yeah,
too.
And I'd like to have it, like we did this time, close to the next council meeting, so there's time.
That's all.
I'd also like to ask about, sorry, it's a public portion.
Hold that thought.
Just the guy, the bills.
Name.
For Yellentuck, 22 Homestead Lane. Mm-hmm. You have there's a bill for $1,027 for signs. What kind of signs?
I think it's has to do with safety signs. There was a
but we put a stop sign at the triangle on Homestead and Valley, rather than the yield sign. We now put a stop sign there because it's
okay. So that's over $1,000.
Well, that's one of the signs that was ordered. You know what? Can we have
big? No.
Can we have Dave? Dave can Curtis can answer some of this. Respond to some of this.
Put a stop sign up the triangle there. 225 mile per hour speed limit signs. New signs went up on North Valley and 2 went up on Oscar. And there are various other signs throughout town, stop signs, yield signs that are just old, dilapidated, and they're being replaced.
Couldn't we get it from the county?
No.
County roads?
No.
Okay. And the other one is trash cans. About $1,500 for trash cans.
Trash cans. Huh? We're actually repairing people's trash cans now, too. We bought wheels, we bought axles, we bought parts for people's trash cans because it's a lot cheaper for us to repair it in-house, and our Public Works Department is doing that now.
These are the large trash
cans?
Yeah, people have broken ones. They've called us. They said they like replacements. The contractor only provides one as part of their contract, and the homeowner would have to pay for an additional one. So we actually ordered parts. And
why, why doesn't the homeowner pay?
The homeowner pays one way or the other, either through taxes or directly.
No, everybody pays for his trash can.
Well, but I don't think he's responsible for the way that the trash can
is. No, I think they're responsible because
I don't think the
trash people collectors do it.
We don't do a lot for the town, so at least we can repair the trash cans.
And actually, the trash collectors are pretty rough with the trash cans. They get thrown around a lot.
And all three Borough Hall trash cans needed repair, and I believe they got repaired. I'm not sure.
Yeah, as you can see, it says trash can and parts, so we've been trying to repair wherever we can.
Okay.
What?
We need security
cameras. Trash can cams.
Bob?
Bob Clark, Lake Drive. I'm concerned that we're not, by the time we hear the ordinance 18-6 at the next meeting, going to have had sufficient time to adequately research the problem and see what needs to be done. The thing that stood out most from that committee meeting that we had, and I was in attendance, was that we didn't really know a lot about the various methods of handling pipe replacement, and that there were places we could go to find out the answer. The one that jumps out in the news right now is Hoboken, 1 square mile. If you look at Roosevelt, the built-up area is 1 square mile, where they had 13 water main breaks in a single period of months.
Hoboken had 13?
Pardon me?
Hoboken had 13?
Yes. Right. And they don't know why, right? So they're going to research it. They're not saying, let's have a meeting next month or next week and decide to implement a solution. They're saying, let's look into it and find out who's at fault for this, if anybody, and let's find out what the solution is, because it's going to cost an arm and a leg. So I don't think we should be proceeding toward decision meetings until we know that our experts and the public and any outside experts that we can bring in, which have particular expertise to help out, or places like East Windsor and Hoboken, maybe, and other towns that have had similar problems with old water pipes, can be consulted, and then we can take advantage of their contribution of information and then make a decision. And if that's more than the next meeting to get to that point, then that's what we should do. And that's why we were leaning forward in our chairs, you know, trying to say, wait a minute, this isn't the answer. The answer is to well research it and then do it.
I have to say that our engineer has been researching for quite some time, and she has consulted with other municipalities. This isn't coming out of nowhere. Carmel has been researching this for years with us, and also has she, I know at Steve's request, she researched pipe bursting. So it's not an impetuous decision here to continue it. It's been being researched for quite some time.
But we're finding out that there's controversy as to various solutions as to which would be the best for Roosevelt. And I like Carmela. I think she knows a lot of things. She's very good at getting road paving grants, but I don't know that she is the final word when it comes to water main breakage situations. And the public, will have an opportunity, if given the opportunity, to decide that we haven't really researched the issue as well as we should have, despite the fact that we have an engineer that wants to do it a certain way. And basically, she's saying that there are other methods of doing things besides trenching, And I don't know that we've even asked her, because we only talked to some people that seem to know about different ways of doing things, what her opinion was about some of the alternatives. So, yes, she does know a lot, but she doesn't know everything, and we should take the time to make sure that we do this just right, because if we make a mistake, we're going to be broke. Thanks.
Mary?
I would just like to agree with the last fellow speakers here, Jeb and Bert and Bob. I was very surprised.
I'm sorry, you do have to say your name.
Oh, Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. I was very surprised and disappointed that after a recommendation of the utility committee that this work should be put on hold and we really need to come up with a plan, that there would be a postponement. I guess, and gathering more information. And I'm not sure if you're waiting for Cody, if he hasn't been available, do we know that he would be up to speed for the next meeting?
Well, that's what it was. It was tabled to allow time.
I would ask, if you couldn't make this decision, please enumerate what questions you still have on your mind. And those questions should be presented to Joe very soon, so that the utility committee can address all those questions. Anyway, I want to say another thing, too. After the last meeting here, when Steve mentioned various alternatives to this construction of reconstruction and replacement of the pipes, he mentioned pipe bursting. And I think maybe horizontal drilling was another suggestion. Steve Brand, who's the East Windsor Executive Director of the Municipal Utility Authority there, I contacted him because he's been in Roosevelt before. He was invited a couple years ago when we were doing an investigation of how to best approach our water and sewer infrastructure. He, in an email, told me he has investigated all these methods already. He could talk to us about the pros and cons. He'd be very happy to. Peggy Gallos, head of the Association of Environmental Authorities, is very interested in talking and helping us as well. So I think I would definitely volunteer. I would like to go this week if, you know, I'm not an authority. I'm not an elected official. Maybe Joe and I could go. But I think, we need to gather as much information as possible. And if people who couldn't vote tonight because they have certain questions should present them to Joe. All this information, actually, I put in an email right after the last borough council meeting, and I sent it to the council and mayor's official email address that's on the website. I only heard back from Steve, and I think it's because Steve has forwarded the official email address to his personal email address. So I would suggest that everybody do that, so that when a citizen tries to contact the council with some information or questions, that you will see it.
I think I got your emails, and we've back and forth. And even with Rich Brandt, I emailed him three or four, called him two or three.
Yeah, I know you were trying to contact him too, Joe. So anyway, thank you.
Maureen?
Maureen Parrott, Chichimer. I was also kind of shocked that it was voted to table, because I've been at all the meetings that it was that the ordinance, bond ordinance, was discussed, and I recall every single member of the public, with the exception of tonight of Dave Curtis, who doesn't own his home, and I understand who's moving to Millstone, and is our employee, so I take that with a grain of salt myself, but every single member of the public urged this council to vote no on this bond. It seems to me that perhaps, it just seems, I can't divine motives, but it seems that people might be hoping the public doesn't come next time, because nothing could change between all the public's comments are going to apply in September. because that's not enough time to do everything that everyone in the public said. So it's almost insulting to the public. We come here to meetings so we can witness the vote, and now we're told, now this is the third public hearing, you have to come back again. And like I said, it seems to me like some people are almost hoping that we just don't show up next time, or people are hoping that we don't have four votes. Well, maybe we can dredge up two more votes. But whoever here, whoever, somebody replaces me, will have no knowledge of this. So I don't. I would say that person should even abstain on a vote. I would urge you to reconsider the motion to table and vote on this ordinance and not go through putting the public through this again and then paying the cost of advertising another public hearing. I don't see any rationale whatsoever other than those two, hoping public doesn't show up and hoping that two people that don't know anything about it on the council will vote for it.
I'd just like to say that I don't believe there's anyone on this council that hopes the public doesn't show up. These meetings are advertised. Everyone knows it's the second and fourth Monday of the month. Nothing has ever been stated or inferred that hope the public doesn't show up. And I believe there's 600 voters in town. Most of the voters have faith that the council will do the right thing, they will have the best interests of the town at heart. It's true that most of the people in the room now feel a certain way, have a certain opinion. But to assume that we're not listening to the public, the reason that you're elected to a council position is because people don't have the time or the willingness to consider every issue and get involved in every issue, and so they rely on their elected officials to have the best interest of the town and vote the way they see fit. So I have to say that I would really disagree with you that anyone on this council hopes the public doesn't show up, wants to hide anything, and there's 12 people in this room compared to 600 voters, and I do believe that most voters believe that they have faith in the council. Oh, Mike.
Yeah, Michael Tickton. I just wanted to point out that just because something can be taken off the table at the next meeting, you know, doesn't by no means means that it's going to be taken off the table at the next meeting. And you know, my guess is that you know that the council is not going to do anything until you know there's a lot of information in. So I think perhaps people are worrying about something that is not likely to happen. Because I think you know we have the committee. We have two members of the committee who are on that committee. You know, who called attention to these problems, and nobody else has said that they think these problems don't exist. So I think the council's going to act very carefully before doing anything, and you know, it may be a while before anything gets done. But it has to be done right. That's all.
Thanks, Mike. Anyone else? Close the public portion at 8:27. Do we need a closed session? Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
It's only 8:30. It's only 8:30.
It's not even 8:30. Are you kidding?
Okay.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 8:27.
I'm going to hold it.